Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 42, Only on God Do Thou My Soul. 42. Time is coming, indeed it is already here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, the one eternal, unchangeable God, we come together to worship you, the God whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, you know everything about us, every slightest thought and inclination, every word and action. We cannot hide anything of ourselves from you. We do not seek to hide from you, Lord. We seek to bring our lives before you now, just as they are, in need of your grace and forgiveness. Help us to leave behind the sins which have in the past clouded our lives and kept us from being the effective witnesses for you that we ought to be. Forgive our sins and lead us in the ways which lead to life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning, especially to the young people in the church. Young people, I'm going to come down there now. Have a word with you. I suppose holidays are all finished now, are they? Holidays finished, yes. Yes, and it's back to the usual things. But This is a holiday month for a lot of people. The month's not quite finished, is it? Not quite, no. This is the month of August, and today is what date? You know the date today? 30, yes, it's the 30th of August. Some months have only got 30 days. What about August? Has it only got 30? Or does it have another one? It doesn't. I don't think so. I think we'll find it has another one day. Yes, tomorrow will still be August. I think so. Anyway, we're coming near the end of August, and then we go into another month. What month next? What month comes next? Yes? September comes next. That's right. September comes next. And I've got a word search for you today, young people. Here, a word search. And August and September are both in there. You'll need to look for them and find them later on. August and September. And as we go from August and into September, we're also going, we're going from summer, aren't we, into the next season. What's the next season after summer then? Yeah? Autumn it is, yes. So we're moving from summer into autumn just now, from August into September and from summer into autumn. And August and September are in there. And what we're talking about summer and autumn, and these are seasons, and the word seasons is in the word search as well. Summer and autumn are two of the seasons. What are the other two? The other two seasons? Yes? Spring is one, and there's one more to come. Spring, summer, autumn. Oh, over here. Yeah. Yes? Winter, of course, it's winter to come. Yeah. Spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And they're all in the word search, all the seasons. And these 2 months, and do you have a favourite month? Is there a month that you like best? Yes? November. I don't know. I don't think there'll be many people who like November best. Why do you like it best? Is it your birthday? I thought that. Yeah. Birthday in November, yes. Well, that's a good reason for liking November best. September's all right too for some people. September's the longest month, is it? You think, no, you don't think. It is if you write it out though, isn't it? September, yeah. Anyway, all the months come and people have their favorite months. And we have different things that we do and different seasons and different things that happen in the church. But one thing is the same all the way through, and that is, that God is with us all the time. And he's given us Jesus to be our friend, and Jesus goes through not just every day, every month and every season and all through the year. Jesus is with us. Whatever we're doing, whatever's happening, he's there to help us to be the right kind of people and live the right kind of life. So I hope you'll enjoy this word search. I'll give it to Mrs. Penno, I think, just now, and she can pass it on, see how you get on with it. And that's fine. Now we'll sing the young people's hymn. Thank you.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 6, at verse 9. Jeremiah, chapter 6, at verse 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Let them glean the remnant of Israel as thoroughly as a vine. Pass your hand over the branches again like one gathering grapes. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so that they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I cannot hold it in. Pour it out on the children in the street and on the young men gathered together. Both husband and wife will be caught in it. And the old, those weighed down with years, their houses will be turned over to others, together with their fields and their wives, when I stretch out my hand against those who live in the land, declares the Lord. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, at verse 19. Luke, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word. And to his name be the glory and the praise. A hymn from CH3, number 144, God is Love, 144. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, at verse 16. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I suppose I did not enjoy all the Shakespeare that we had to read at school, but I did enjoy reading The Merchant of Venice, and I did enjoy the comic scenes with Lancelot Gobbo and his father, Old Gobbo. Old Gobbo was nearly blind, didn't recognize his own son, asked him the way to Shylock's house. Turn up on your right hand at the next turning, says Lancelot, but at the next turning of all, on your left. Marry at the very next turning, turn of no hand, but turn down indirectly to the Jew's house. Poor old Gobbo listens to all this gobbledygook, and then he says, by God's santies, 'twill be a hard way to hit. One summer Sunday evening, number of years ago when we were in Berwickshire, I had to take the service in the small village of Ledgerwood. Mrs. Heventon came with me. So did our two dogs. We had to ask the way. It was getting near time for the service. The only person we could see was a woman leading two horses. When we stopped in the car beside those two horses, the two dogs went wild. We couldn't hear a word the woman said. Fortunately, she pointed, and that helped. You do feel helpless sometimes when you ask the way and you get directions which are difficult to follow. Jeremiah, in the chapter we were reading from today, is talking about wrong choices which his people have made in the past, crossroads where they've gone wrong, places where they've not followed the directions that were given. And this is what he says to this wayward people. These are the words of the Lord. Stop at the crossroads. Don't go on barging on regardless when there's a place where you have a choice of roads. When you come to that kind of situation, stop at the crossroads. Stop and think. Stop and take time to consider. Stop and get your bearings. Stop and ask for directions if necessary. But don't take the wrong road, as you have so often done in the past. And those words of the Lord, which were delivered by Jeremiah to his ancient people Israel all those years ago, those words come echoing down through the centuries to our own day. They're as relevant today as they ever were. They're as relevant to us as they were to the Israelites of old. The Lord needs to say to us, just as much as he needed to say to the Israelites in Jeremiah's time, stop at the crossroads. Sometimes things happen which make us stop short, stop and think, stop and take stock. Aren't there times in our life when this is just what the Lord is asking us to do? Stop charging on in the unthinking way that we've been going. Stop when there's offered an opportunity to choose this way forward or that. Stop at the crossroads of life. Things in our life are sometimes allowed to run on. As they run on, they can become worse. Bad habits which become addictions. Lack of use of our faith. Lapsing in our regular worship and prayer, which can run on into cynicism and godlessness and who knows what else. But God doesn't just let that happen. God gives us the warning. God gives us the opportunity. In the mysterious ways in which he performs his wonders, God brings us to the crossroads and bids us stop and consider. The ancient Israelites were bidden to stop at the crossroads and consider. Stop charging on in their thoughtless ways and in their drift away from the true worship of the one true God. Stop this drift and think and consider. Look for the ancient paths, is the word of God relayed by Jeremiah. Look for the ancient paths. On the face of it, it looks like an invitation to get back to the good old days. Oh, fine, I mind the good old days, the days when we were kids. We could all sing ditties and reel off yarns about the way things used to be. The way things were when they were at their best, we may be tempted to think. But when we think that way, we're overlooking a lot of the features of the situation of that time. We remember the good things. We can take times which were actually nothing great and weave them into a picture of the good old days by selecting from them what we want to remember and leaving the rest. But life is not like that while it's happening. And life is happening now. Look for the ancient paths doesn't mean hunker for the good old days. It means get back to the relationship with God, which is central to all your experience. That covenant relationship into which God invited you long ago. That's meant to last and stand the test of time. It will last and it will stand the test of time if the people will stick by it. God himself sticks by it. He is still God and still faithful, although his people have fallen away in their allegiance. The ancient paths, the ways that have stood the test of time. We sometimes, in our own day, we sometimes make a mistake about what has stood the test of time and what has not. Oh, people say, the old mission hymns, Moody and Sankey, oh, for the days when those hymns were sung. They've stood the test of time. Oh, for the days, people say, when there was no television, no discos, no counter-attractions to draw people away from the church. Jeremiah is appealing to what was central in the people's faith from the beginning, that relationship with God, which was the foundation of the nation's life. That's what's meant by the old or the ancient paths. It's the same for you and me as it was for them of old, the relationship with God, which is central to all our life. That's the ancient path to which we have to turn. When our life reaches a crossroads, that's the path we're looking for. Ask, he says to them, ask where is the way that leads to what is good. In the history of the Israelite people, through their early patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then their leaders in exile, Moses and Joshua, and through the long line of prophets, the people were repeatedly called to look for that ancient path, the right relationship with their God. Time after time, they were called to seek the way which would lead to what is good, warned about the future outcome of the foolhardy ways they were inclined to choose, encouraged to seek God's way in order to arrive at real blessing. Jeremiah takes his place in the long line of prophets proclaiming this message. He lends his voice to the chorus of those calling the people to stop, to take stock, to look about them for the right way, to seek the way which would lead them to what is good. And doesn't Jeremiah's voice echo down the centuries to our own day? But on its way down the centuries, Jeremiah's voice finds its fulfillment in another voice, the voice of our Lord himself. I am going ahead of you, he said. I am going to prepare a place for you so that I can come again and invite you to join me there. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way, Jesus said. You know the way that leads there. The disciples didn't think they knew the way. It was all a mystery to them. They probably knew the words of Jeremiah from their reading of the Old Testament, and they probably thought about the ancient paths and about asking the way that led to what is good, but they didn't think they knew the way. For many Christians, the problem has been the opposite one. Many so-called Christians have thought they knew the way when in fact they didn't. But Jesus' disciples didn't think they knew the way, and he told them they did. Then he went on to clarify it. I am the way, he said. That was a revolutionary element in religious thinking. That was something new to the minds of those disciples and the minds of people of that time. And it's still revolutionary to many minds today. Jesus is the way which Jeremiah was advocating, the way the Lord was calling his people back to. You and I have the benefit of knowing Jesus as a person. The Christian way is not a way of rules and regulations, not a way of religious rites and practices and ceremonies. It's a daily walk with a living Lord. That makes it different from any other religion and makes it live. There are many ways in which the world comes to the crossroads. Artificial stimulants used in sport, other drugs used in other ways, disease whose spread can only be checked by a radical reform of people's way of life, nuclear arms and what to do about them, all sorts of issues which bulk large in today's life or crop up in our news bulletins from time to time. The world comes to the crossroads. It's time to stop and look for the ancient paths, ask for the ways that lead to what is good. But if that happens on a national and international scale, it's equally true that it's happening on an individual level. It's happening in your life and mine, that in daily life we come to the crossroads, the place where we're faced with the choice of ways to go. Look for the ancient paths, says Jeremiah, ask for the way which leads to what is good, then take that way, and you'll find the result for yourselves. The rest, which is promised, it's not the collapsing into a chair at the end of a strenuous day, not the laying down of the tools at the end of a full working life. No, it's the rest from fret and worry, the rest from torment and scare, the rest which only the peace of God can bring. And you and I know the way. The way is Jesus himself. That's why we make him central to our worship. He invites us and we come. Jesus is the way. We take that way, walk with him every day of our life, and we'll find that peace which the world cannot give, the peace with which the world cannot interfere. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 473, Thy Kingdom Come, 473. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray you to accept our offerings and let them be dedicated to your service. Take likewise the offering of our lives and purify us that we may become good and faithful servants, using the opportunities of service which you provide day by day. Lord, we give you thanks for all your goodness towards us, for the joy of home and family, for the companionship of friends and neighbours, for the activities which give us a sense of fulfilment, for the strength which supports us and the love which surrounds us in times of joy and in times of pain and stress. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the glory of his humble birth, the graciousness of his selfless life, the obedience and trust which led him to the cross, the triumph of his resurrection and ascension. We give thanks for your Holy Spirit at work in your church and in our hearts, revealing your truth and renewing our lives. We pray for your church, Lord, in this parish and the parish linked with ours, in this whole community and in all the world. We pray that your people may have courage and exercise faith so that your word may be heard and people may live their life by it. We pray for our Queen and those in authority that in the fulfilling of their duties they may be guided by your Spirit and upheld by your grace. We pray for our community, our country, and the nations of the world, that everywhere there may be peace and concord and freedom from bitterness and strife. We pray for those who are having to cope with trouble of one kind or another. We think of people who are ill. We know some of them and we think of them now. Others we know not, but we commend them all to your love and care. Bless those dear to us, Lord, and keep them safe. We thank you for the communion of saints, the lives of those who have completed their earthly course, with whom we still have fellowship through your Holy Spirit. Grant that we may follow their example and leave likewise a good example for others to follow, and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. I emphasize and draw to your attention, friends, one of the items on the leaflet today about the Wednesday morning service. It's been in abeyance for the summer months. Shortly it's to resume again, though, not on Wednesday of this week, but Wednesday of next week, the 9th of September, in the small hall at 10:30. Our closing praise is hymn 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 519. Thank you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.